1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's take a look here at our theme verse for these series of messages and in regards to headship. And we are taking a look at the economy of the Lord and the way the Lord operates, the way the Lord, if you will, gives and takes. Well, what's what the Lord says His thinking and His order is. It's different than what we estimate things or the way that we would account things in this life. To get something, you got to earn something, right? That's the way it is. Work is something that's been given by the Lord, and so it's a work for something, get something kind of thing that we are used to. But the thing is in the economy of the Lord, the way He estimates things, it is different. There is an obedience to Him, and there is a blessing for that obedience, but it's different than what we would think. We've talked about the obedience and obedience and being great in the kingdom and what the Lord says, that one that is least in the kingdom can be greater than John the Baptist. Well, how would you ever figure that out? That's what the Lord says, and it's by obedience. Breaking the commandments of the Lord, teaching those to break them, it's make you least in the kingdom, but teaching them, obeying them, and teaching them make you great in the kingdom. And it's relative to this thing of submission, headship, and obedience. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, he says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So there is this doctrine of headship that's in the Scripture. It's not so much a thing of hierarchy as it is of order amongst mankind. Of course, we know the Lord is preeminent. He is over us. He is our creator, and we do answer to Him in that. But from the standpoint amongst mankind, men and women, boys and girls, it's not a thing of hierarchy. I'm over you, therefore I'm greater than you. But it's a thing of order that the Lord has ordained. And so, in this thing about the Lord's economy, and the way He estimates things, again, we've taken a look first in obedience and being great in the kingdom. Also, the last time we spoke about it, we talked about giving and how the Lord says more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, I like receiving. Megan's birthday's today. Nathan's birthday's today. I imagine they've been pretty happy and excited about getting gifts for their birthday. And if we said to them, "So, well, since it's your birthday, you get to give us a present," you know, I don't know how well that would go over. I enjoyed her cake, and that was good. But, you know, our thinking is it's pretty good to get, isn't it? And then when we talk about salvation, I'm really glad I'm saved. Aren't you? And it was better, the Lord says it's better for Him to give that to us than for us to receive it. Makes me scratch my head, because I'm thankful to be on the receiving end of it, aren't you?
Amen.
But that, boy, talk about the love and care of the Lord for us. And so now what I want to talk and mention to you and speak to you this afternoon about is this thing, the Lord's economy in regards to losing our life, and the gaining of rewards. What is it that the Lord says about this? Have you got life? Well, yeah, if you can hear me, you've got life. You're living, your heart's beating, your blood's moving around and pumping, your brain's functioning. You might be fighting lunch and needing to take a nap, or wanting to take a nap. But we like life, don't we? We like living. Who wants to volunteer to die this afternoon? None of us do we? No, we don't. We are built that way, and it is not wrong. It's just the way the Lord's built. The Lord's built us to hang on to life. Let's take a look first at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Take a look over here real quick, and then we'll come and take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said about losing our life and the gaining of rewards. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Yeah. How about verse number 6? "Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him." I don't understand all about what that's saying. But there is a purpose for things, and there is a bringing of an end to things. The judgment of the Lord is talking about that. The Lord's going to bring the dealing with sin to an end. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. We don't know the future, do we? Who can tell him when it shall be? We just don't know. And anybody that says that they can tell you the future, aside from what the Lord tells us in His book, in the Scripture, what the future holds, anybody that tells you that they can tell you the future is wicked and devilish, and you need to stay away from them. Don't get your palm read. Don't get your fortune told. Don't go to a witch, a sorcerer, a sorceress, a necromancer. Don't go to people. You see that stuff over at we see it around all over now in the Peddler. It's a magazine or a weekly paper that's put out about folks selling cars and selling stuff and that. There's an ad that this fellow's put in there about wanting to have a fortune telling session with you. That's what he's selling. It's just wickedness. It is flat out wickedness. Stay, because we don't know what the future holds. The Lord does. He knows the beginning from the end. But we don't, and nor should we seek to. We need to rest and trust in Him. Look at here, verse 8. Here's how we like life. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit, to retain the Spirit. If you've ever seen somebody die, especially somebody that was wanting to live and wanting to hang on, they try. And they struggle to hang on to life. But you and I cannot hang on to life. There's no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. We all are going to die. And when it comes time to die, especially you that are here and not saved, there's an attitude that prevails amongst men that says, in a way, in a thinking that prevails amongst men, that says, well, when it comes down to death, I'll get right with the Lord. When it comes down to death, you'll be busy trying to hang on. You won't be thinking about the Lord. You won't be thinking about trying to make things right with the Lord. You won't think about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, anything's possible with God, but if you're counting on that and banking on that, this is the way it is amongst men. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There's no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And so the pursuit of sin and wickedness, it will not stand. Darkness will never stand. So it's in us to live. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ here speaking to his disciples. And he's appointed the 12 apostles. And the purpose for them, for them to be with him during the time of his ministry, the power that he gave them. It says there in verse number 1, as an aside, he called unto him and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all matter of sickness, all matter of disease. What's the number that's there? It says 12, doesn't it? It doesn't say 11, does it? It says 12. Judas evidently was also able to work miracles. They didn't doubt that he would be the betrayer. Isn't that something? And to heal all manner of disease. There was nothing about Judas that made the other apostles suspicioning. Find that interesting. And the Lord goes on here and he says, go in the way. He says, don't go into the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. But he says, go to Israel. And this is part of what I mentioned about this morning, where they were sent ahead of him. And he speaks here in verse number 15 about it being more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city that rejects their preaching. Right? He says in verse 16, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He says, beware of men and be brought before governors. Don't think about how you're going to answer. Right? The Lord, the Spirit of God, will give you what you need to say. You'll be hated of men, verse number 22. They're going to persecute you. Go on to the next city, verse number 23. Understand that you're not going to be above me, because if they do these things to me, they're going to do it to you. Okay? Everything's going to be revealed, verse 26. What's been said in darkness is going to be revealed in light, and so on. It says, fear the one that can destroy the body and the soul in hell. And then he talks about value of things. He says, birds are sold for a price, and not one of them hits the ground without the Lord. So, how about you? You're going to be of more value than those birds, and the Lord knows about them. We pick it up in verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When you have an opportunity to speak, speak. Speak. Don't be silent. I think as the Lord's people and the Lord's churches, coming to this age and this time that we're in, we are guilty of being silent when I should speak instead. We don't need to be mean. We don't need to be cruel. But we do need to be right and tell what the Lord says. Right. It's only by us that are the Lord's children in His church. It's by us that the Lord's ordained that the witness of the truth of God's Word and salvation be told to this lost and dying world. And if you're there and an issue is at hand, you've got the answer and you've got the truth, tell it. Tell it. Tell it in a good, right way. But tell it. Speak. Speak. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, verse 34. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Which, well, that starts getting close when it's your own family, isn't it? But who are we to love more? We love the Lord more, aren't we? That's right, he says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. It says in other places that if a man hate not father, mother, sister, brother, and so on, wife and children and all that, is not worthy of the Lord. And does the Lord want us to hate our spouses? Does the Lord that told us to honor our father and our mother, does He want us to hate and dishonor our parents? Is the Lord talking out of both sides of His mouth? No. But what the Lord is saying in that, it says that He, our love for Him, our love for our parents, our love for our spouse, our love for our children should be small compared to our love for the Lord. The Lord comes first. And we know that we can love and should love our spouses and our children greatly. They're a blessing from God. Our parents, our brothers and sisters, you know, our kin, our family, our aunts and our uncles. We should love them. It's right. But the Lord's, our love for the Lord should be well and beyond all that. You know how that's manifested? It's manifested when our family and what they do and what they pursue and what they desire, when it comes in there and competes for what the Lord would have us to do, that we don't go with that, but we go with what the Lord would have us to do. We don't have to pitch a screaming fit against our family or friends. We don't have to show out real big or anything. We just need to quietly, peaceably follow and obey and serve the Lord. The witness will be there. The testimony will be there. Well, we're going to have some wing-ding on Sunday. Well, don't call them because they won't come. They go to church all the time. That's what they do. They just, and it just that it be known that that's just the way it is as an example. And there's other things. There's other things. But at work, well, go around and collect for the lottery. But for the raffle, well, don't go over there to her because she doesn't gamble. That's what she says. Let it be known. We just don't partake in stuff like that. And that be known. Speak up in that. He says our love for the Lord should be greatest of all. And it says verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross, as the Lord wants you to get a crucifix and carry it around with you every day and rub your shoulder raw. Is that what that's talking about? Is that talking about wearing a cross on a necklace or around your neck? Is that what that's talking about? Having some jewelry or having some golden cross that you carry around all the time? No, it's not talking about that, is it? It's talking about your labor and love and service for the Lord. The responsibility as a child of God to represent our Heavenly Father and our Savior. Pick up that cross. Pick up that responsibility, if you will, and serve the Lord. Look at this, verse 39. We're talking about the Lord's economy and losing our life and gaining rewards. We saw in Ecclesiastes, it's just in us to hang on to life. It's natural for us to want to hang on. And we enjoy living, don't we? We do. We do. We enjoy living. Yeah, we have hard times. Maybe you've had just desperate times in your life that you maybe even despaired of life. But on a whole, we love living. And listen to what the Lord says. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Take your life, your physical life, and you use it for yourself. Kind of like the rich man there that had a great crop come in, right? He had more crop than he had barns. Remember that? And he said, anything wrong with having a good crop? Nothing. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. Anything wrong with tearing down barns? No. He said, I'll build new barns so I can bestow my fruits in there. Anything wrong with building new barns? No. If you need them, build them. If you can, the Lord's given it to you to build them, build them. Here's the problem. Then I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No consideration of the Lord was it. He's living his life for himself. And that's where the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Now we think that with what we've got, and there's a principle in the economy of the mammon of life that we work and we get provision from our work, and then we take that and we build upon it. The merchant takes the money that he has and buys some stuff, makes a profit, hopefully, so that he can buy more product to sell it some more. And gains that way. I mean, that's just good stewardship and good business. But in regards to our service of the Lord, our life, if we take it and we pull it to ourselves, which is natural for us, that's not going to yield a good thing for the Lord. We need to take our lives and use them up for the Lord. I only got so much life, Brother Jim. Yeah, that's right. But are you staying here forever? Am I living here forever? We enjoy it. And I'm not near as old as some of you all are moving on in years, but I can tell right now that getting older makes it harder to move. To live to 120, 140, 150, if that would be the case, life would become miserable, wouldn't it? But if I take this life and pull it to myself, what's the Lord say? He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life, what's it say? For my sake. There's a difference there. I know a man, when I worked in Illinois, and the man was drunk day in and day out. He worked like a Turk in the department that I had. I mean, he did the work of three men. But he's drunk all the time. He had gray hair. At 30-some years old, I mean, he was gray and he was all withered and used up. And he was just taking his life and he was wasting his life. Now, I don't know. I don't even know. I lost track of him after we moved from there. I don't even know if he's alive today. That man was losing his life in a sense, but it wasn't for the sake of the Lord. He was just taking his life and it's just a waste of life. There is a sense, too, that tied to that bottle and tied to that booze and the drugs and everything, he was living life the way he wanted to and using it up the way he wanted. But he says here, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. See, the one that lives their life for themselves, all they're going to have is right here on terra firma, right? Right here on the earth, this life. That'll be it. The best you can make of it. Maybe 80 years. Maybe 90 years. Maybe you're blessed and one, you don't have arthritis, you don't have aches and pains, you don't have to have any major surgeries, but you just your heart wears out. And that's it. But for the child of God, we take what the Lord's given us on this earth and the life He's given, we take that and we lose it for His sake. We use it for His sake. As the brother said, it does nothing but get better and better and better, doesn't it? Knee may hurt for now, right? But one day it isn't going to hurt, is it? Got them braces now, right? But one day won't have them. Amen? Got these old glasses. Underneath my mom and dad's house, I'm working at that old dusty lime and stuff, try to put a mask on, my glasses fog up instantly. I can't see a thing. It's frustrating. One day won't have glasses. Won't have to work on sewer problems either. Right? He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life, loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Wait a minute. But if I give up my life, what will I have? Great and wonderful blessing from the Lord. Great a way it is. Amen. He that receiveth you, now he's speaking to his disciples, and I want you to hear this. I want us to hear this. Losing of our life, losing of one's life, and gaining rewards. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Are you a child of God? A minister of the Lord? One that receives you is receiving the Lord. One that receives the ministry and work of our church receives the Lord. Are we not His body? Amen. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Oh, receiving the Lord and the Father too, right? Oh, what a wonderful deal. So you can only have all of God, not part. The Jesus only crowd, they've missed it, haven't they? Because they do despite to the Father. Without the Father, you don't have God.
Right.
Baptism in the Scripture that talks about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is one. The Lord is one, rather. God is one. And Jesus is the manifestation of the Godhead bodily, the Scripture says. Now look at this. We've seen about losing our life. If we lose our life for the Lord's sake, we gain it. And more. And he that receiveth you receiveth me and him that sent me. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I'm not gunning for suppers. But there you are. Isn't that what it says? Now, wait a minute. Brother Jim, I'm a lady. Yeah? Are you limited in the reward that you can receive? No? Not at all. No other economy that we know about works like that. Isn't that something? The manifold wisdom of God. Isn't God good and liberal? He is, isn't he? He just says, I've got blessing packed up, stored up, and stacked up that I'm just waiting to give out. If we'll just seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. Isn't that wonderful? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, we don't have prophets from the standpoint of a man that gives new oracle of God, okay? But what we have today is there are ministers, there are preachers, there are pastors. Yeah. And that's the extent to which we prophesy today. is we tell over the Word of God that we've received. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives shall receive a righteous man's reward. Receive him. Help him. Encourage him. That means that I can receive the blessing of your reward by being a help and encouragement to you. How can you lose with that? Amen? Maybe it takes a little time. Maybe it takes a little money. But what's that going to matter in eternity? Nothing. Now, we serve the Lord. And I didn't understand this when Brother Wayne preached on it. He preached on it, and the Lord was patient with me and helped me out with it and that. We don't serve the Lord for what we get. We're to serve Him because He's God and He's got it coming. It's due Him. Amen. But He has made promises about what He's going to do. As it says in Hebrews chapter 11, that Moses had he had understanding for the recompense of the reward. He said, I didn't follow after the pleasures of sin for a season, but chose rather to suffer with the people of God because he had regard, he had understanding about the recompense of the reward. See, Moses knew he should follow the Lord and obey the Lord. And when he did, the blessing of Canaan, being brought out of the iron furnace and bondage of Egypt, talking about an elevation, being given a house and a land and cattle and crops and fields and stuff that they didn't build the house, they didn't plant the crops, they didn't put up the fence. They didn't serve the Lord for it. Those that were faithful, but it was the benefit and the blessing. Okay? So we need to worship the Lord and serve the Lord because He's God and because He saved us. We need to love Him with everything we got about us. But we don't need to be ignorant of what He's promised He'll do. Receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man and receive a righteous man's reward. Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet and receive a prophet's reward. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, it does us well to be hospitable. It does us well to be hospitable. So, Brother Jim, things aren't right or things aren't this or things whatever. Don't like people for the stuff. Enjoy people for who they are. If your place needs straightened up, straighten it up. But do we love one another because of what we got? Because of what we have? Or we love one another because we're the Lord's? Amen? Yeah. It's not about trying to one-up one another. That's a terrible way to live, isn't it? Terrible way to live. We need to love one another for who we are. Not be a respecter of what the things are. Be hospitable. The Lord will bless for it. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So when somebody comes over, offer them something to drink. Are you thirsty? That's there, isn't it? Didn't we just read it? Yeah.
Amen.
A good prayer that I heard a man pray years and years ago. Father, help me to use all that you've given me for the furtherance of your kingdom. That doesn't mean becoming a preacher. Doesn't mean becoming a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't mean becoming a deacon. But this means looking out to help the people of God, the sinners around us in need of salvation, and to take what the Lord's given us and use it to further His kingdom. To help out. To help out the brothers and sisters in the household of faith, and help out those that we can for the sake of being a good witness of good things unto all. It's kind of backwards with what our natural thinking is. And in our natural thinking, to hang on. Yeah, that's not the way it is with the Lord. Matthew 25. Losing one's life and gaining rewards. Verse number 31. When the Son of Man has come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, we saw about that this morning, right? Who else is with Him? The saints too, right? Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. I think it's talking about the millennial kingdom. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on the left. And it is going on to include the white throne judgment. I think it includes maybe the judgment seat of Christ. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's king. Everything is under His control. Every usurper has been put down, or when they rise up, will be put down. And then those things will be brought to pass where the Lord said, Child, you've been faithful in a few pounds. Here's five cities to take care of. I think that's when that's going to happen, is in the millennial reign. You've been faithful over five cities or 5 pounds. Here's 10 cities. Take care of them for me. When else would it be? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the thing is the rule of the Lord upon this dirt ball, upon this earth, for 1,000 years, in spite of the ravages of sin, by the time the Lord gets done with this place, it's going to be nigh unto Eden. Why? Because of His blessing. And the one more time, just the final hammer put on it about obedience to the Word of God does work. It's right. It'll cause things to thrive. It said, the Scripture says, you still call a man a child at 100 years old. How can that be? 100 years old is pretty old for us, isn't it? But in that day, one that will be 100 will still be referred to as a child. And one that's old will be very old. Hundreds of years old, it seems. And listen to what he says. For I was, verse 34, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Be hospitable. Naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. I count it a blessing of God upon the church here, that the church and the Lord worked, and there was a desire to make the missions quarters and to make that available to any man or servant of the Lord, child of God, that's coming back and forth and traveling through these parts to give them a place to stay, because that'll be a blessing upon this church. Has been. Not to take it and build it. And it needs to be cared for, and right? I'm not saying it should be abused at all. But if we had so many come through there that were the Lord's people and the servants of God, that it wore out the carpet and we had to put more carpet in it, wouldn't that be good? Amen. Amen. Because, see, one day it'll burn up. But in the meantime, we can use it for the Lord's service, can't we? And the Lord says, in that respect, if it's used by one of His brethren, it was attributed to being towards Him. We just don't think that way, do we? So open up your house. Open up your home. Keep people. Brother, sister in Christ is traveling through. Make sure the arrangements are right. And if you can keep them, keep them. If you can feed them, feed them. If you can take them out to dinner when they're passing through and you know about when they're passing through, take them. Right. It'll be worth whatever you give for it. Because I tell you what, there's no greater recompenser than the Lord. Amen? Right. No greater one. Wow. He says, if you've done it to one of these least, these my brethren, you've done it unto me. I don't understand that economy naturally. But I'm glad that the Lord teaches us about it. And I tell you what, grab a hold of it. Trust the Lord in it. Help Him to show you about it. And be liberal in hospitality. And be open. Use what the Lord's given you for the furtherance of His kingdom. Yeah, take care of it. Take good care of it. Should be. We should be in good stewards. Don't hang on to it with that white knuckle grip. Hang on to it loose. But use it for His service in His kingdom. Ladies, what's told about us is that we want to keep you all beat down and in submission and down there on the floor mat, on the rug. But that's not the way the Lord's ordered, is it? You can have the reward of a preacher, a pastor, a servant of God, a missionary by opening up your house to them, by feeding them, by helping them along, by being an encouragement to them. Who else could do such a thing but the Lord? He's keeping the books, isn't He? He's keeping the books. If you're here and you're not saved, a great wonder and miracle of the Lord is that through the power of God, if you will repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow, some way, God is able to take your sins and put them on His Son and take His righteousness and put it on you.
Amen.
If you're here without Christ, you sure need it.
Amen.
You need it. And we point you to Him. The Lord's economy and the Lord's operation is great. His blessing is beyond measure. It's out of sight. We can't even comprehend it. Turn to Him.